Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it.
Providence, it is a joy for me to be able to introduce to you Pastor Leon Harrison this morning from Empowerment Church in McKeesport. I've had the privilege of seeing him preach a number of times myself, and I am excited for you to hear what the Lord has to say through him this morning. Please welcome my brother in the Lord, Leon.
It's good to be here on this morning. And I don't know about you, but when they say I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm definitely excited no matter what the weather is. I don't know if anybody was out in the rain yesterday, but that should have been a very good time where you say thank the Lord, because what it felt like earlier in the day. But God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Can we just pray? Father, we thank you even now for who you are and for who you are in our lives. God, we thank you, Lord God, for your word, because without your word, Lord God, we wouldn't even know what to do. Some of the old saints say that we'd be like a ship without a sail. But God, we thank you on this morning that you are our anchor. And so, God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in thee we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. We heard the scripture reading on today. I do, as I go into my sermon, just want to read it from a New Revised Version as I go into the text and theme of what I want to kind of focus on today. It says this: everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I come to you on the day to ask a few questions, and I think these are questions that we have to ask of ourselves. Is that we have to ask, what kind of foundation are we building our life on? Men, you know I'm always pro-man, but I know sometimes we are the most hardest-headed individuals in life. Look at the women saying, Yeah. You know, when it comes to getting some new furniture at the house, you know, there's these things called directions that oftentimes either finds itself sitting in the box still or laying on the ground. And we feel like, you know what, we can just look at the box or the picture and look at the pieces and just put them together. And however it looks, and it's going to make sense to us. But the danger in that is that we find out that sometimes it's the smallest steps that we choose to miss that causes the biggest problems in what we do. And what ends up happening is that when it causes the biggest problems, there's no way to fix it but then to take it all apart and then to put it back together again according to the directions it is. Some are shaking your head, I see you, and probably others will shake their heads, because there's another thing that we do, especially when we are driving, that we don't want to trust in the GPS or the map. We want to trust in our own intuition. Look at that. And even when we're lost, we just cannot admit that we're lost. Anybody ever been there before? You know you're down three wrong streets, but you're just going to keep going until something is familiar. That's how we are in our life sometimes. We try to take command of our own ship, and we think that we can navigate through life's issues. and feel our way. Everybody remember that story about Paul on the ship, and he's there as a captive, and he's trying to warn them because what God spoke to him and told him. He said, you know what, we might want to go ahead and go this other way because a shipwreck is about to happen. And everybody said, well, we believe in the captain more than we believe in your God. Because this captain knows his ship. And sometimes we're the same way. We believe that we know our ship more than who God knows. And oftentimes we end ourselves in a shipwreck. But I understand that we are going through this series of the Sermon on the Mount. And I know you probably started just a couple weeks ago, so I'm probably jumping so far in the end. But sometimes you got to watch the end first, right? And it makes you appreciate, you know, it's like a prequel I'm going to give you on today. But the biggest thing that I want to talk about on today is that when you think about the foundation that you are building your life on, is that it's not just about the focus on are you building it on the rock or are you building it on sand. The biggest part is that Jesus, as he finishes this amazing sermon, he's finishing this thing as saying that as you heard everything that I spoke about, the worst thing you can do is be a hearer of it, but not a doer. The worst thing you can do is to get the directions and then figure out and say to yourself, I'm going to build it my way. You're not Usher. You can't do it your way. And you're not Burger King. You can't just have it your way. But God said that if I give you these tools, because he builds these things from the Beatitudes and he builds this thing from a discipline. But we're understanding that it's not just about building, but it's about obeying. Yeah. The difference is in between the rock and the sand, truthfully, is obedience. And we have to ask ourselves, is there a line being drawn between information and transformation? I said to myself that the last thing I want to do is go to hell from the church. Because why come here every Sunday, every week? We worship God and we come here, but our lives are not transformed. And what happens is that there's a foundation that's not being developed upon. And so when it looks like rock, but it ends up being sand. As we see here, we see that Jesus in this time and in this text, he's referring back to what he has stated between chapters 5 and 7. We talked about the Beatitudes. We talk about the loving our enemies. Oh, man, he talks about some hard things, right? He talks about loving our enemies. What? Loving our enemies? Yeah, these are the ones that you have to pray for. Right? He talks about prayer. He talks about forgiveness, right? He teaches us even how to pray. He talks about giving. He talks about fasting. He talks about even worrying, telling us, you know what, you got too much to worry about. Don't worry about tomorrow, but find your focus on today. And then he even tells us about judging rightly. But he wraps us up because he helps us understand that even though there may be need in our lives, right, he gives us this greatest part of the direction where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. So this rich word that he's giving unto us, he's allowing us to understand that if you believe it and you receive it, it's going to be just as strong as rock if you obey it. But you know one thing that I heard this very great quote is that we have to understand that delayed obedience is still disobedience. Yeah, right? We talk about the children of Israel when they sent the 12 tribes over there. We talk about how God already promised them the promised land. And when they went over and came back with all the stories about not about what they told him to go over to say. They say, go and tell us if there's fruit in the vineyard. Go and tell us what you see, right? We know the land is flowing with milk and honey. No, they came back and they start talking about, we see giants. And we're like grasshoppers to them. They went over there and talked more about the threats that was in the land than the promise that was in the land. And what happens is that when they were told that this land is yours, they said that we're not ready yet. And so they could not take the land that was actually already theirs because they felt that they were not ready. But sometimes in our lives that we may feel that we're not ready to take what God has given to us and placed on us, but God understands and knows that even when you don't feel that you're ready, guess what? You're still ready. And so we get to this important part where we have to understand that he tells us strictly, don't be hearers, but be doers. I got three kids and two of them are grown. It's another level of parenting. And, you know, you got to ask them, well, do you hear me? And they'd say, yes, I hear you. But then you got to double back and say, well, were you listening? Because I've learned that you can hear but not listen, right? We were in at our school. We have summer, about 3-4 week summer sessions, and we have to often tell the kids to take their headphones off of their ears. And they'll tell us, well, I can hear you, but there's a difference between hearing me and listening to me. Because if you just hear, you'll miss a lot of different facts and little creeks right there, little nuggets that can help you live a better life. And so when we think about the sand situation, we see that, you know, the Greek emphasizes continual action, right? Be a doer of the word. I just don't want to be a hearer, because there's one thing about hearing about God, but there's another thing about knowing who God is. This isn't someone who heard one sermon. It's someone whose lifestyle is hearing and obeying. See, when God tells you to pray for your enemy, he wasn't just talking about just that day. Matter of fact, he was preparing you for maybe a season where enemies are going to be coming into your life, and that you now have to remember and say, I remember hearing the word that I ought to love my enemies, pray for my enemies. And what about that day that now here comes a month later and you now have to face someone that doesn't like you? And if you got to be honest, you don't like them either. Come on, it's all right. God likes honesty, right? And then you got to say to yourself, what do I do at this moment in time? Do I treat them how they're treating me? Or do I go ahead and say, you know what, Lord, touch them? Because you have to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against those principalities, right? The darkness, and we wrestle against those issues and those situations. And we have to understand that even though my enemy may be acting like an enemy, it's still my brother, it's still my sister, and it's still a soul that I wish that God will be able to change them. You never know that sometimes God brings these situations to you, because it's not really about who's coming to you, but it's about God showing you to you. You ever look in the mirror and have to face yourself? You know, reminds me when Paul says in Romans 7, when he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? Because he was faced with seeing who he was. He was faced with the truth of saying that every time that I try to do right, I find myself doing wrong, and the things that I know that I should not do, I find myself doing. And he says that every time that I try to do right, the evil was there present in my life. And he had to face himself and look at himself and just said, oh, wretched man, who that I am, who shall deliver me out of this body of death? Because I need to be delivered not from my enemy, but I need to be delivered from my inner me. Biblical wisdom, it's never merely intelligence, but it's wisdom is applied truth. A wise person doesn't know more. A wise person obeys more. I'll say that again. A wise person doesn't know more. A wise person obeys more. We see that in the Bible. It always reflects back to God, and even Jesus says that he appreciates Peter when he tells Peter, upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The rock represents stability. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so we understand that when the Word is spoken and then we put our trust in the Word, then we know that we're putting our trust in stability. Now, if we see now in verse 25, I just really want to bring a point to this scripture, because it reminds me of what goes on in our lives. And sometimes what we've seen even on yesterday is that you can experience multiple seasons all at the same time. When you think about verse 25, it says this, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. Notice that in the text, he talks about three different attacks. He talks about rain. He talks about floods, and he talks about winds. He's very specific in his writing and in his text because he's helping us understand that sometimes you have rain that brings pressure from above. And we understand that things that come from above are things in our lives that we cannot control. Has anybody been through a rainy season lately where it seems like when it rains, it what? It pours. And you're getting more frustrated because the effects are on you. I was out and we were having a cookout for my aunt's birthday, and pray for her because they're giving her 6 to 8 months. So we wanted to kind of really turn up for her and bring some joy to her. But every time I hit play on some music, the rain started. And I was wondering, was my DJ tape controlling the music or was it controlling the rain? I just was getting confused. And I was frustrated because you all know DJ stuff, you got to plug in and you don't want water dripping on your stuff. But you got to get to a place where you got to understand that there's just some things that's just out of your control. And so you have these floods, which is now bringing pressure from beneath. And what happens with floods, as we see, they cause unexpected problems in our lives, things that rise suddenly. And we know that if we don't tend to them, then things can get out of control. And then you have these things called winds. And winds are pressure that comes from every side. Criticism, we know these situations. Temptation, spiritual warfare, life's uncertainty. And we've seen Pastor Matt already said and talked about these distractions that come our way. And there's nothing worse than something that distracts you so much in life that you're so distracted that you forget to go back to the rock. We are in a place that God is helping us understand that even when things in life begin to shift you from left to right, the rock is always stable. Some of us right now are going through some things in our life, and we're trying to find ourselves on the rock. We're trying to understand if we have even built our house, our lives, upon his rock. The story in the Bible text talks about two different men, that one built their house on the rock and another built his on the sand. And I wanted to try to understand this man. Sometimes we judge so much because we know the answer because the Bible gives us the answer. But sometimes we got to ask ourselves, well, why did this man try to build his house on the sand? Well, maybe he was like us a little bit, that when we retire, we think about good life. We think about sandy beaches and sunshine. We think about things around us that make things better for us. Maybe he put his house next to a coconut tree. Maybe out front there was a lake or an ocean that he was able to just dive into, because he was worried more about what was good for him than what was good for his house. And a lot of times we think about ourselves and we pray to God, and oftentimes we're praying the wrong prayer, because a lot of our prayers are prayers that focus on what we want, but not what we need. And oftentimes it may look like the perfect place to put a house. It may look like the perfect place to put our lives. But a lot of times when things look perfect to us, it's based on what we want, but not what we need. Moses had to go through some things with some of his people that was following him, because even though he knew that the promised land was where they were supposed to be, some of the leaders that were with him often stressed him out because they didn't want to go through what they had to go through to get there. So they will often see land that looked the part, but it wasn't the part. They will stop Moses and say, Moses, out of everything that we have, the cattle, the oxen, the people. This place is perfect for it. But Moses understood that even if it was perfect for us, we were not called to that place. Some of us right now can look at him and say that I built my life on sand, even though God was calling me to the rock. But I built my life on sand because they may have been confused or distracted because someone said, you look pretty good right there. And we know how sometimes when people stroke our ego, we look pretty good on that sand. We start looking at ourselves. We start feeling ourselves a little bit. Even in the Bible, it says that you have compassed this mountain long enough, and it's time for you to move northward. God began to speak to me through that text because oftentimes that even though the mountain is big in our life and it's an issue in our life, if we start getting ourselves and becoming complacent in our with mountains in our life, we'll start making mountains our home when it's not supposed to be there. Some of us right now have thorns in our sides and issues right now, and we're used to living with them, right? Right? We get a little older and we say, I don't think I want to go through surgery no more. So I'll go ahead and keep taking a little pain pills or I'll put some Bengay. Am I showing my age a little bit? Do they still make Bengay? You know, some cream of Jesus. That's some real old stuff right there. You can't walk in and people know you. They'll be like, what is that? That scent, that is cream of Jesus and Bengay. That's not cologne. That's not Sauvage. But we get to a place where we make it doable. Doable to live even though we have pain. And even though God is saying, get this thing fixed in your life, we don't want to go through the struggle and the process of getting it right. So we make it a part of our life. And what ends up happening is that we stop living and we only exist. And in this life and what I see in this world and the things that are coming to pass and how I see our youth right now is that some people are complacent just existing, but they're not living. When you choose the way of the sand, you're choosing the way of the sand and thanking God every day that the storms and the winds and the floods did not come because you don't know how your house is going to survive through the struggles and through the storms of life. We don't know how our lives will survive when we don't have, you know, when somebody doesn't want to have flood insurance. You just start thanking God and saying, God, I thank you that there is no flood. When you don't have certain securities, you start praying that they don't come. But when you have God, it's just like Psalm 91, right? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He's given us the promise right there that you have security when you survive and you live and you provide your life under the rock. There's something right now that some of us right now have had. God has spared our lives because we was connected to the rock, right? Right, right. God has blessed us and gave us favor because we were connected to the rock. And so it says that he does not promise believers a storm-free life. But what I've learned is that even when storms come your way, you don't have to be affected by the storms. We all know the story of Jesus in the boat, sleeping away, taking a good nap. Y'all know he deserved it, didn't he? He deserved that nap. And they said that he was in the hindered place. And there began to be a storm that rose. And everybody on the ship was just going crazy because the storm and water was coming up on the ship. And then they looking at Jesus sleeping and was confused and tried to shake him. And why are you sleeping? There's a storm. And he just kept sleeping away. And they kept shaking him so much, they got on his nerve. Y'all know how the kids do in the morning before your alarm goes. Daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy, get up, get up. I didn't hear my alarm yet. I got 5 more minutes and you just ruined it. So Jesus said, you keep bugging me. And so he gets up, probably wipes his eyes a little bit, probably doesn't even open them much and just says, what? Peace, be still. And I think about that story. When I was a kid, I was younger, I used to think that the storm just ceased. But the Bible doesn't tell us that. And so when you think about it, he called for the peace. He didn't call for the storm to stop. So what happens in their life is that they were more afraid and fearful of the effects of the storm than the storm itself. So Jesus calls upon peace and say, peace, be still. And what happens is that even though the storm is raging all around the ship, those on the ship were not affected. And that's what he was sleeping in. He was sleeping in peace, and he wasn't affected. If we can really look back, I probably can pass this mic to everybody in this room, and they can remember the day that they were going through probably the season of the most storms in their life. But for some reason, you had a certain peace. And people probably was looking at you like you was crazy, because they was like, why have you not lost your mind yet? And that's a good testifying moment right there to tell them that, because I got the peace of God in my heart. And many people won't understand, and they won't know, and they think you crazy for serving this God until they find out that this is the God that has preserved my peace in the middle of my storm. There was a song artist that said, because of you, I survive in my storm. And some of us right now are getting to a place that we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to obey to build on the rock? Lastly, as I get ready to close, is that we were in a moment of looking for property to build our church. And I mean, this property was the best. It was right where our church is at. We have a parking lot and some land down the street, and it was perfect. But the problem was that back in the day, there were mines that were up underneath the foundation. And so, you know, knowing me, I'm just like, well, what does that have to do with anything? This is the perfect location. And sometimes we'll go over what we think is the perfect location, because let me help you understand this. Location is not the same as foundation. Yeah, location is not the same as foundation. The location can be perfect, but the foundation can cost you. And some of us have gotten to a place where we feel that where we are located is where we're supposed to be. But it's not about where God is locating you. It's where he wants you to build foundation. I could ignore the fact and say, well, let's go ahead and get a prefab building. Let's set it on top of the thing and let's roll with it. But if you can't get, even when you put a building on top of a location, you still have to dig into the ground and develop a foundation. And so some of us have to ask ourselves, what have I built a foundation on? Have I built it on my distractions? Have I built it on looks? Have I built it on my past? Have I built it on my relationship? I'm only here because I'm dating this beautiful, handsome man, you know. Am I only here because of what pulled me in that direction? Or did God actually place me here? Did I hear his word when he told me that I ought to love my enemies? Did I hear his word when he told me that you should not judge the way that you're judging, but you actually need to look at the beam that's in your eye, because there's some things that you still have to get together? Have I built myself on the word that Jesus spoke from the mount that make me a better leader, a better disciple, a better person, a better Christian, a better person with salvation, a better spokesman or messenger for God? Or do I just look the part, but I'm not the part? Do I turn the blind ear when God begins to remind me of what he called me to do? Or do I say, Lord, I'll just do it later? Matter of fact, Lord, you told me to speak to somebody, but I'll be like Jonah. I'm not going to go here, but I'm going to go here. And you find yourself on a ship and having to be thrown overboard because you set your foundation in the place that God did not call you to. Some of us, we create habits sometimes. My foundation being in maybe a struggle like alcohol or drugs or things that I pull on, friendship circles. And if you stay there long enough, they'll start telling you things differently than what the word has told you. And you'll start depending on the sand because it was quicker for you to put up your house on the sand than it was for you to build into the rock. But I come here to let you know on today that, let me help you understand, the rock has never failed us. It has never steered us wrong. It has never told us to go into a place that we were not covered. There's something about the rock that gives us promise. There's something about the rock that gives us strength. There's something about the rock that gives us stability, that no matter when I heard the word, I can still do the word. That's why it says, don't just be hearers, but be doers. Hearers is continuous action as well as doers. It's verbs. We're putting it in action. We're putting it in our lifestyle. And we have to understand and be able to reflect and know, God, am I operating like I'm on sand right now? And if I find myself drifting, can you put me back in the right place again? Lastly, I'll leave you with this. Why is sand so wrong? Because sand shifts. It changes. It cannot support permanent weight. Spiritually, sand represents anything unstable in our lives. Feelings, culture, popular opinion, wealth, status, self-reliance. Anything other than Christ, we know eventually shifts. And so we see here that the houses probably looked alike. Probably the same engineers put it together. But one probably said, well, what went wrong? And the biggest part was disobedience. Lastly here, we live in a culture that treats the word of God like a buffet. And we know how buffets are. We fill our plates with the scripture we enjoy and walk past the ones that challenge us. We'll shout over God's promises, but whisper over his commands. We'll embrace his blessings, but resist his corrections. Jesus is saying you don't get to build a house on half of a foundation. A foundation with missing sections is still unstable. You can't choose the Beatitudes and ignore forgiveness. You can't choose prayer and reject repentance. You can't choose grace and refuse obedience. The rock isn't built by selective obedience. It's built by wholehearted surrender. That's what we want on today, is wholehearted surrender. It may be a difficult process to build upon a rock, but I promise you this, if you just surrender to God with a yes and a wholehearted surrender, the storms that come your way in your life, the one thing will happen is that you won't fail. Anybody believe that on today? Yes. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are and for what you have done. God, lead us to the rock that's higher than I. God, some have shifted in the sand, but we thank you, God, that you're a God of redemption, that you can still allow us to build on the rock. So God, help us in our obedience to your word as we study in this series, oh Father, your sermon. God, let us apply it to our hearts so that we can meditate on it day and night, and that it can be strength into our lives. God, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So God, we thank you for your word on today. Let us all be hearers and doers. In Jesus' name, amen.